Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. John and talk about the challenges of faith. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The Carmelite sisters who own and operate Mount Carmel Home at 4130 South Alameda are in need of help to maintain, upgrade, and improve their facility. Toward that purpose, they'll hold a rummage sale on Saturday, September 1st from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m., and you can feel free to make donations toward that project. The next day, Sunday, September 2nd, they'll offer fabulous barbecued chicken dinners with sausage and all the trimmings at the Knights of Columbus Hall, 614 Mohawk Street near Baldwin and Morgan from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. For complete information on both these events, call Mount Carmel Home at 855-6423.
The Refugio County Community Center will be the site for St. James the Apostle Fall Festival on September 9th from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Delicious barbecue dinners with all the trimmings, tea, and dessert will be served. Also featured will be a cakewalk, children's games, a silent auction, and much more. To hear more, call the parish office at 361-526-4454.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop. Happy Sunday to you.
Thank you, Barbara. We're at the end of the month, getting to the end of the month.
We sure are. And tomorrow marks the first day of school for the public schools, Corpus Christi Independent School District.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, stick with it.
That's right. Well, of course, the Catholic schools have been going on for a couple of weeks, but It's the last official day of summer for a lot of students.
Well, God bless all the students, and I hope you do very well in school this year, and keep at it.
That's right. It will be a great start. Great year. All right, our gospel today is from St. John, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him, and he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the very beginning of this gospel, the disciples were using the word hard. And of course, sure, I think of the word hard to understand, but the translation says that the Greek word here, hard, doesn't mean it's hard to understand, but hard to accept.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense here.
You know, when we look at the life of the prophetic life of so many prophets in the scriptures, how mistreated they were at times, and what a difficult job, you know, you might say that they had, because they were announcing condemnation. They were announcing reform. They were announcing change. And people don't like to hear that. And I think this is something that as we approach the year of faith, and we don't have to wait for the year of faith in October to start, but each one of us should be challenged. And this is the difficulty of a Christian life, of the life of faith, which means placing my life in another's hands. We can become so steadfast in our own approach to life, to understanding, that anyone that challenges that is creating a difficulty for us. That may not have been said perfectly, but another way to say it, and this came up a couple of weeks ago. It came up actually a couple of weeks ago. We were reading the gospel of when Jesus was speaking about divorce. You know, why did Moses allow it? And Jesus said in the beginning it was not like that. It was a man and a woman who were called by nature, by God's providence, by God's gift of the natural law to come together to be married. And he says, then they asked, well, why did Moses allow it? And Jesus said something very important for them, but I think for us as well, when we look at it, the way we live our Christian life. He said he allowed it because of their hardness of heart. That when we harden our heart, there's a couple of things that happen, I think, when a person hardens their heart against God, against Christ, against the gospel, against the church, against anyone. Number one, when anybody hardens their heart, it means they are petrified in their own stance, in their own belief system, in their own ways of doing things. They can't hear anymore. So and this is where a prophet comes in. When a prophet speaks, which is a way of announcing something that can give you more life, or as the church has the teaching about so many different issues and ethical choices and saying to you, this is where you'll find life. Listen, accept. It's really saying soften your hearts. Don't harden your heart, because the hard heart can no longer hear. And it also is the way of division. When we harden our heart against God, against one another, we've entrapped ourselves in our own world and are no longer able to really relate with an openness to one another. And so a hard heart is saying, I'm comfortable where I am, do not challenge me. And so this is what we find here at the end of this sixth chapter of John, after they've heard all of these things about I am the bread of life, I give life, the medicine of immortality, as we talked about last time. And people began to leave. I mean, this is too much. It doesn't fit my categories. And so they walked away. It's a hard saying. It's hard to accept it. But what I think is beautiful, when he heard this murmuring, he looked at those that were closest to him, who had heard so much of what he was doing. Does this shock you? It should shock us in many ways when something like that is said, because we're being asked to go beyond ourselves. And this is where Jesus says, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. So if we only live by the rules alone, we miss the spiritual side, the spirit who's calling us to live. Each one of us may feel that we can go to bed at the end of the day or examine our and say, yeah, I've done this. I haven't done this. I didn't do that. Did do the, you know, and say, okay, I'm okay.
Our to-do list.
Yeah. But what about, you know, the neighbor that needed a listening ear, or what about the child that needed a little extra time and you ignored, and because it was uncomfortable to reach out to that person. So, but that's where the spirit comes to life, is when we go beyond ourselves and our own categories and our own small way of seeing things, and we've justified ourselves in our own way of seeing things, and we've missed the call of God to reach out to someone else, to spend more time with him, whatever it is. So we can't harden our hearts. This is what a life of non-acceptance of faith does to us.
So because we've talked about a heart softening our hearts, but a hardened heart means that you're letting your intellect take over. You're thinking more than you're letting your heart speak. I mean, there's a connection, of course, between your heart and your mind, but you're letting your mind take over versus your heart.
Sure. Faith has to be rational, too. I mean, we look at it, and certainly faith and reason go together. Mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II was brilliant. He wrote an entire encyclical on that very topic, where so many people think, well, you just follow blindly. Yeah, to a point, but it also makes sense. Following Christ, living the life of the sacraments, following the gospel should make sense. And why does it make sense? Because we find it's the source of life. And if we're happy, if we're joyful, we've received life from our faith in Christ, then that's rational. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the Christian life, that it requires a lot from us to accept things that we can't see, to accept things that maybe we'd rather not have to deal with, but at the same time, it's done with the purpose of being more committed to Christ, more challenged in our own ways, and full of life.
Mm-hmm. And he had about here about the it is the spirit that gives life while the flesh is of no avail. And I had to look that up because I thought, well, what does that mean? And it's like he's not speaking about his own Eucharistic flesh. He's likely contrasting the things that are born of human motives and desires with those that are prompted by God's spirit. So the human motives are driving it versus the spirit.
Right. I mean, I think it's a human experience, you know, even in family life, we can, or any kind of gathering of people, we tend to create certain rules and regulations, and where a person can fit into that and say, yeah, I followed all the rules, I've not broken any of the regulations of the company or of the organization, but your heart wasn't in it.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's speaking of here is your spirit in it? Are you really believe in what you're doing? I could follow all the things as a bishop that the church, you know, really wants us to do for good order, but maybe my heart's not in it. Well, then you're really dead.
Right.
You're really
dead. And people can see through you.
Sure. And
you're transparent.
You don't portray any life. And mm-hmm. so what Jesus wants us to do is to portray life, which is joy and peace and giving and love. But if that's not seen, then we may be following all the rules, but we have no life in us. So that's what he's saying is the spirit gives life and the flesh is of no avail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't produce the joy and the peace of Christ in our life.
Mm-hmm. So this was, and we can talk more about this after the break, but this gospel was really a turning point because this is when some people left him. Some of the disciples stayed and then quite a few left. They just, as you said, were like, I don't understand, I can't accept, and I need to move on.
Yeah, and the source really, if we look down the next couple of verses from there, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. You can't accept them. So turn the other cheek. It's hard for people to accept. Give and you'll receive. It's hard to do sometimes. Forgive 70 times, 7 times. It's hard to do, especially with some people, et cetera, et cetera. So Jesus knew that it was that what he's requiring of us is going to go against our own human side, our flesh. It's easier not to forgive. It's more comfortable to not give and to hoard things for myself. That's the human way. But Jesus' word challenges all that, and that's what gives us. But to follow that, to take that leap of faith into following his word, receiving his Eucharist, that's what gives us life, and that's the true treasure of the Christian life.
And it's a beautiful thing. We are going to continue our conversation on the challenges, so please stay with us and we will be right back.
Married couples who wish to enrich and deepen their relationship will find the Songs of Songs Marriage Retreat a rewarding and enlightening experience. September 6th through 9th, couples will not only deepen their relationship with each other, but also with God, through talks, time of prayer, reflection, and sharing with their spouse, and come away with a deeper understanding of themselves, each other, and their marriage as an image of the communion with the Holy Trinity. For more information, please call the Retreat Center at Our Lady of Corpus Christi on Lantana at 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, continuing our conversation, Bishop, on the challenges of faith, looking at the Magnificat for this particular Sunday, there's a wonderful quote by Pope Benedict.
Yes, I saw that myself, and it's actually taken from the beginning of his first encyclical on charity, where he says, the murmuring of the people when they said, and then we begin the quote, "This saying is hard, who can accept it?" And then the Pope says, "If we approach Christianity from our own presuppositions, we completely miss the fact that being Christian is not a result of an ethical choice or of lofty ideas, but an encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. We want to look beyond the saying to the sayer." So not just get caught in the fact of Jesus said this, mm-hmm. but look at who said it. Mm-hmm. It's that personal relationship with him. And then he goes on, "This is what it means to be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Decide today whom you will serve. Your own ideas and preconceptions, or the Lord." In another place, he speaks that we're not people of the book, in the sense that certainly we the Bible's at the heart of our life.
Right.
But what he's saying there, and what he's referring to here in this passage, is that we're not people who just can memorize what was said, but look at who said it. And the relationship is not so much with the written word, but with the person who said those words.
So that then once you know who said it, then you can follow where the logic is.
Right. But this is why, yes, exactly. And this is why, especially in the early church, and we're beginning to speak of this more often, is that Christ is present in his word. So it's not a dead letter, you might say.
Right.
Not a full analogy, but I mean, certainly if you read a letter that's special to you, especially after someone has died, and you reread, it's like their spirit comes alive through that. Mm-hmm. And certainly in the gospel, it's the same thing, that if we have this relationship with Christ, which again, what we've talked about over the last few weeks, that the Eucharist is really the catalyst to that intimate relationship with the sayer of the word. So if you look at the way the Pope writes it, when he says not just the saying, but the sayer, S-A-Y-E-R. So look at him. If you look at the gospel from this point of view of a relationship with Christ, it comes to life. And that's why the word of God is always alive and active, as Hebrews says. It cuts through. It opens our heart. It moves us. But if we're not being moved by the word, if we're not being challenged by the word, if we're not really converting our life to conform to Christ, then we're missing that relationship. I think that's where really the point is, that we're living our own presuppositions. Well, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be Catholic. Maybe not. Maybe that's part of it. But until we are constantly challenged by I'll keep using the word, the sayer of the word, in an intimate encounter, that it's Christ speaking to me and Christ speaking to the church, Christ challenging me out of my narrow-minded way of seeing things. Unless we are constantly challenged by that, we go back to what the gospel says, that we're living in the flesh in a certain sense. We've living according to our own preconceived notions of what God is, who God is, what the church is, what the teaching is. No, we have to always be open. Otherwise, as I said in the last session, we've hardened our hearts. And sometimes, unfortunately, not even the Lord can get through because he's not invasive, he's inviting.
Mm-hmm. And we hear that voice that says, soften your heart and let me lead you.
Well, and you know, that comes, and this really takes us back to the Eucharist in many ways, because how is the heart softened? It's softened through mercy. It's softened through forgiveness. That once we understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him would have life, that is God's mercy. God could have left us on our own, kind of just follow your own rules, et cetera, et cetera. But no, he sent his son as a sign of his love, as a sign of his mercy, as a sign of his reconciliation. Christ left us the Eucharist as a sign of his presence, as his continuing presence with us, as a sign of the fact that he died on the cross for us, as a memorial of that event, so that we too could be drawn into that and experience what true mercy is. If you look at Christ, even at the end of his life, I don't know if you've ever thought of putting yourself, well, but we all do this, put yourself in front of this this situation. And we've had some, in recent months, we've had some beautiful signs of people in this community who have forgiven others, who have softened their hearts, not without pain and not without so much difficulty, but have really lived as Christ has lived, and I'm sure it was through their own faith. If we have been forgiven, then we too must forgive. But look at Christ also at the end of his life on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And to the thief, this day you will be with me in paradise. So all of that dying for us is in the Eucharist, and it calls us to come out of our narrow-minded ways of approaching life and to be that person who is able to receive mercy and also to show mercy. And this is what creates a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone.
And we've talked about this before. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I forgive you and what you did was right. You
know, no.
The person may have done it wrong, but you're forgiving them and then moving on.
It's never a justification
exactly.
of the action, but
right.
it certainly is going beyond. I mean, you know, we're not justified in doing evil.
Right.
But we can be forgiven if we ask and if we are able to do that for each other. Right.
And it frees us.
Right.
Well, so down toward the latter part of the gospel, you know, it was a split. Are you going to stay? You know, are you not? And he said in the catechism, when they use the quote, will you also go away? You know, the Lord's question echoes through the ages as a loving invitation to discover that only he has the words of eternal life and that to receive in faith the gift of his Eucharist is to receive the Lord himself.
Right. And everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they presently believe, will face that last moment where, you know, you are no longer at this point of life here. Or you're facing eternal life one way or the other, because life does go on.
Right.
So as the Pope says, I love that last sentence in the part we just read, decide today whom you will serve, your own ideas and your own preconceptions or the Lord. It's the same thing that we see here in the gospel today. At the beginning of this passage, they grumbled. They were murmuring, you know, what is all this? What's going on? And this is hard to accept, etc. But in the end, as we often say, they voted with their feet. They walked away. It's just right. too hard. And went back. And what's interesting is how St. John says they went back to their former ways of life, their former preconceptions, their former ideas, and lived those. And for whatever reason. But Jesus, in a call to faith, an invitation to faith, to put your life beyond what is normally human, and said to his apostles, to the 12, do you also want to leave? That's a decision, and that is the decision. You can follow and people do, unfortunately, today, with all that we're seeing in our country and in our world, following ideas, following what seems to be an enlightened way of life. The church is old-fashioned. The church and, or any religion is kind of that imposes anything upon us is out of touch, is old-fashioned. I don't think so. I think, you know, the church, the gospel, the teaching is to call us to life. It's not calling us to a suppression or a repression of life. It's calling us to live joyfully, to live in the truth, to live in the light, to live forever. But we have to make that choice. And beautifully enough, and that the gift of faith is just that. It is a gift. But it's a gift that we have to receive. And so to take time to be able to reflect on life, to look at the demands of what it means to be a follower of Christ, to look at the demands of the gospel in its entirety, not part. You know, we like sometimes the sweet part, but the sour part is like, nah, I don't want that. But that's where we grow. We don't grow in the sweeties.
Right. We grow in the challenging
part. We grow in the challenging part. That's where the spirit comes alive is when it's mm-hmm. difficult. Mm-hmm. And so at that point is when the Lord says to us, will you go too? And I think, you know, anytime, especially this week, maybe we could remember those words. If we're facing something difficult, just listen to the Lord in the bottom of your heart saying, will you leave me now? This is your moment. This is your challenge. Will you leave me or will you believe? And hopefully we will say, as St. Peter said out loud in front of the other apostles, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We find life in you. We don't find it in following our own ideas and our own preconceptions.
What a wonderful thing for us to think about as we face each week with some challenges.
And each day.
True, day by day.
Day by day.
Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could close our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of the world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.